you live daily, his praises to sing. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power.
When we talk about modernism, we talk about an individual's decision. A decision to be more modern in our ways of looking at things and away from what the Bible actually recorded back yonder when. There's objection to the Word of God being the authority for the ways that we should believe and practice. And as a result of modernism, there's a way of life that is being practiced by individuals that is a way of life acceptable to themselves, but not acceptable in as far as the Bible is concerned. We tried to set up this morning the idea that the Bible, the Word of God, is that which every responsible person in the Bible, whom we love and admire and appreciate deeply, said should be done. Moses, for example, in the Old Testament, set forth the idea of you listening to and hearing and obeying and keeping this law and statutes and commandments of God that I have given to you. David will say in Psalms 119, 172, all I will speak thy word, all thy commandments are righteousness. And so we know that to be the case. When Jesus came, he was speaking about words that he would use to judge in the last day, and noted that they were the words of his Father that had been given to him. And he was now replying it to those disciples with him. It is the case that if we read along later in the scripture, we read of John's statements about this matter and how that all this thing in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are not of the Father but of the world. And he that does this and practices this has separated himself from the blessings of God and from the ultimate living with God in eternity. So the people who are the principal folks of the Bible, that everyone recognizes names of virtually, and everyone thinks regarding their ways of life, Moses and David, Jesus and John, they all set forth the idea that God's word is that which will be followed. It's the way to path to righteous conduct in our lives. It's the way against modernism and against the ways to revive it. The concept is so set forth in the Bible that it tells us about relationships that mankind would have. And some modernism of the day sets forth the idea of enjoying yourself to the fullest and forget about the responsibility to God. The idea is what you like and what you love is what God would love for you to have. God would love for you to live that way. The scripture tells us a number of examples, but I want to use just one of them tonight. As I go back to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, the things written aforetime, he says, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The idea of Romans 15 and verse 4 is that things written aforetime, written before in the Old Testament of the Bible, these things were written for our learning. We benefit from them. If we'll go back and take a look at what happened in those times, Paul is saying to the brethren at Rome, we'll know what to do. If you're patient with it instead of not patient with it, and saying, oh, that was just that period of time, oh, that just pertained to them in that situation of time, it really doesn't apply to me today, and adopt the idea of modernism in our time. It's the idea of going back to the Word of God and taking that as it is, and seeing that that's patient and authority of the Scriptures. We through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. The Scriptures will give us comfort. It will give us the authority of God. It will tell us that we're on the right path, doing the right things. When Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 13, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Do you believe and accept the idea that Jesus was from eternity? That he knew what the difference was between that straight gate and narrow way and the wide gate and the broad way that leads to destruction? Do you have the idea in mind that the Lord understood and he was commanding and caring people by his teaching and by his life's example to a righteous way of conduct in life? Not a way of modernism, but a way of peace within. The Old Testament has for us a number of examples, but it particularly has in 1 Kings chapter 13 an example of what the Lord meant, what he said. And everybody, including the person who disobeyed the Lord, understood. It is noted in 1 Kings 13, beginning verse 1, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now, of course, Jeroboam was not the Rehoboam that will be later on the king of Judah and Israel. But he would find himself in this particular situation where Jeroboam has assumed authority and has assumed this position. And he's gone to this region of Bethel and Dan and set forth altars of worship. And verse 2 says in 1 Kings 13, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon him, upon thee, shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him, and his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to himself. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Now we're introduced to what the man of God was told by God before he ever came there and cried out against that altar and dashed that altar to uselessness at that place, and left the warning for anyone to to misuse this altar again. We read here in 1 Kings 13 and 8, "And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half of thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread nor drink water, nor return again by the same way that thou camest. And so he went another way and returned not by the way that he had come to Bethel." Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. He said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So saddled the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak, and he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. And it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. And he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house and drank water. It came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came out of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place which the Lord did say unto thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. The scripture goes on to tell us in the reading here in 1 Kings 13 that as the prophet saddled his donkey and went along that way, that a lion that was not known to have been in the way, a lion was not known to be in that part of the country, a lion was suddenly appearing, attacked the prophet. Did not do anything to the donkey on which he was riding. There will be 3 days that go by before the old man finds his way to see this young man. And as he comes, he sees the lion still standing by the prophet dead, and the donkey still standing by the prophet as well. The lion was not so hungry that he attacked the donkey, which would have been an understandable thing. This was an act of God to tell people in future generations who read these words, the things written aforetime were written for thy learning, that this man knew what God had commanded him to do. He had replied it and stated it twice before. Now then he goes in outright disobedience what God has said. And now then he has died. It's a sad thing to note when we know what God has said about adultery, but we get into adultery. It is a sad thing for us to know what God has said about telling lies and falsehoods. What will be the end of the liar? But we do it anyway. When we find ourselves disobeying God's commandments and God's will, what can we do but be reminded? And in our generation of time, we remind people in regard to sin and wrongdoing of the writing of the beloved John that we cited this morning at the close of the lesson. In 1 John 1, he tells those who are in fellowship with the Father and the Son who get into sin again, knowing better than that, but getting into sin again, if you will confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What do we have here? We have the commandments of God given to us, words that we can understand, and the application of those words can be for sure carried out by our practice in life. When we fail to do that, what should we do? Repent of that. Turn away from that. Repentance is described in the pages of the Scripture by our Lord Jesus, who spoke in regard to two sons who found themselves being commanded of their father and then found themselves not doing that. When that one did not do what his father commanded, he needed to repent. There was one who recognized his need to turn away from what he was practicing, his disobedience to the Father, and to do what the Father had said to do in the way of life that he followed and did. He was blessed as a result of his repentance. A wonderful thing has come in mind when we have this idea, so said to us, that God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We talk about modernism. We're talking about a way that redefines God so that he's not the authoritative message of the Word of God. Modernism redefines the meaning of sin. And it's not that big a deal in modernism. Modernism thinks that it's foolishness on the part of a person to repent and to come back to God and to ask forgiveness and to cry bitter tears in regard to the way that I failed him. But that nevertheless is what the Lord has asked to be done. And just as we read here in 1 Kings 13 of this man and his circumstance, we read of a man who is always set forth to be one who knew the Word of God, who then did not practice the Word of God. And he, as a result, he is given as an example of the things written aforetime. Do we learn anything from them? Do we learn anything from 1 Kings 13? Do we learn anything about the way of life that we should live? Now for a moment, I want to carry you over to 1 Kings chapter 14. And I want to read there in verses 7 and 8 where there's a change that takes place, and Jeroboam has his wife to pretend that she is some other woman. It goes to the prophet Ahijah and asks of him a certain blessing and a certain way for a child that is very sick and at the point of death. In the process of that, the Lord God said, rent the kingdom away from the house of David. And he says in verse number 7 and 8, go tell Jeroboam,
Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, For as much as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee, yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images, and to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut it off from Jeroboam. I want you to observe, please, that verse 8 has for us a real meaningful thing. Something written before time, written for our learning. Do we learn from? And rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee. And yet thou hast been not as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes. Is not right within our eyes, he's speaking of. God is saying, David did what was right in mine eyes. He did what was right according to God's teaching. What a blessing it brought to David's life, and we still remember him today. And I was glad to use him this morning as a word in regard to how we should view the Word of God. And when David noted, I will speak thy word, in Psalm 119, verse 172, I will speak thy word. And what else? I will speak thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. God's commandments for us are the right way of living, the right way of doing, the right way of praying, the right way of behaving, the right way of thinking, the right way of planning, the right way of hope. It's the right way God has set forth his word for us. And he wrote it before time, and examples have we learned from those examples. As we sing this song of encouragement tonight, think about our relationship to the Lord, and you listening by way of the internet system, think about your life, for example. Are you following the right path that the Lord has commanded to be done as you follow what you're doing from day to day? Let's stand together as we sing.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I Lord, upon this heart in this form. We pray, Father, that those who partake will reflect upon that and that we can partake in a manner pleasing to thee. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In like manner, Father, we also have taken this cup, the symbol of our Savior's blood that was shed upon that cross in our stead. We pray, Father, that we can reflect upon this for the betterment of our lives and that we may partake in a manner pleasing to thee. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 149, and after this song, J.L., would you lead us in prayer?
Yeah. Our good men's class on Wednesday night, I know our ladies' class has a good class study that they're underway with, but we've had a wonderful study underway on Wednesday evening. We've all saluted it. We all have been benefited from it, and it's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock once again.
The gentle voice of Jesus falling tenderly upon your ear. Sweet his cry of love and pity calleth. Turn and listen, stead and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and now